So whoever that is, come on up, guys. And y'all, why don't you just stretch out your hands? Guys, you can carry on. Thanks, Rob. Why don't you stretch out your hands and let's bless Rhoda. Father, we thank you for the gift that Rhoda is. Lord, we think of the story of her life. I think of when she went to Hong Kong, she was a blessing to Rob and Glenda and City Church International in Hong Kong. And wherever she's been, we know she's been a gift. And so, Lord, we thank you for the gift that she is to this local house. And we thank you that she is a gift to us tonight. And we open up our hearts and we open up our ears to hear what you are saying through this gift that you have so graciously given us tonight. We speak your anointing over her tonight as she shares. We thank you for such a powerful anointing, such a tangible anointing on her as she shares tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Go for it, Rhoda.
Get it in my pocket. Yes. Okay. Can you hear me? Good. You get used to this thing next to my ear. And this goodie. Get all my gadgets out so that I can teach. Okay. I much prefer being on the ground than up there, so I'm very grateful. It's so exciting to see all your faces, and thank you for having me. I've been preparing for about 2 weeks. I've been thinking, and God spoke to me quite clearly last week about what he had on his heart to share. And it's so amazing. I just love being God's child. I just love being able to hear him. And don't you just love it? Don't you love just knowing that he will speak to you? You know, he will. He always does, whether it's straight away or in a few days' time. He is so faithful. I just love that. I love that we're his children. I love being a daughter. I love having had an incredible encounter on the ladies' camp that just connected me to the Father in such a beautiful way that I'd never experienced before. And when I sat down to prepare for this, I just went straight back there to that place where I met the Father in such a beautiful way. And he spoke to me. It was so comforting. I didn't have to strain and work and fast and pray like I might have done 7 years ago. You know, it was easy. And that's what it's like walking with God and being his child. It's easy. It's easy. I love that word. Coming from a place of being raised in a Dutch Reformed church, I'm Afrikaans. We grew up in Pretoria. Just a little bit of history about me. I'm married to Dom, and I'm now very much English. We have a little 2.5-year-old boy, Daniel. But I was very much Afrikaans. Grew up in a full-on Afrikaans home, going to church every Sunday, whether I wanted to or not, and learning about God. I knew all the stories. We had done all the Bible, but I never knew God. I never had that relationship. I met God here in Durban when I got saved in 2001. At HCF City Hill. And that's when I met God and he became real to me. And it's been an amazing journey. And I'm so grateful that here I can experience a freedom that I've never known. And a spaciousness to love God and explore him and know his presence and be able to just be free in a house and be safe. Be safe. So yeah, just a little bit about myself. But yeah, tonight, I want to extend an invitation to you. I felt God invite me. And I read Romans 8 quite extensively, and in the Message Bible, the heading is Life on God's Terms. And then I just felt that to include in that an invitation to you to come live life on God's terms. And we'll talk a bit about that at the end. So, okay, let me just get myself. So the very first scripture we know very well, all of us, and out of the NIV Bible, this probably would be familiar to you, therefore there is now, no, first of all, this passage of scripture is incredible. When after I read it, the whole of Romans 8, I felt like I had like a vitamin B injection, but with some Red Bull in there and some, I mean, all other type of kick. I got such a kick out of reading it that I actually wanted to like jump up and down, and I felt so infused with energy and life and encouragement. And that's when I knew, actually, okay, cool. God brought me to this for a reason, because it was just so super encouraging. So it starts off by being quite amazing in the sense that it says, therefore now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, which is us, if we're in him, if we've accepted him. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life sets me free from the law of sin and death. We know this. And I looked at it in the Message Bible, and it says this, which was quite exciting, because it just expanded it a bit more for me. And it says, those who enter into Christ's being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud, which is the condemnation part. A new power is in operation. The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. It's quite hectic. Some hectic words in there. And I've actually, the reason why I put them in red is because they stood out to me, which is what, if any of you have experienced condemnation, which I think we all have to some degree, some maybe worse than others, it is. It's like a black cloud that comes and sits on you. When you feel condemned about something, whether it's not greeting your neighbor when you drove past, or whether you didn't maybe give the person who asked for bread something to eat right at that moment, or whether you didn't, you know, maybe didn't read your Bible, for whatever reason, we experience condemnation in various forms throughout our life, and it's like a blanket that kind of just covers you and sits on you. But I love the new power that's in operation in us. That is the Spirit of life that we have when we get born again. It comes into us, and it's a new power that's in operation. It's not like we used to live. It's not our old life. It's not the power that set us up to live our life before Jesus. It's a brand new power, and it is powerful. Yeah. It's powerful. He cleared the air, magnificently cleared the air. Being a teacher, I'm loving all the describing words, all the adjectives, which you can just add in there. Magnificently clear. He didn't just clear it. He magnificently cleared it. It's like magnificent. Freeing us from a fated lifetime. Now, that's a long time. Lifetime. And, I mean, let's be honest. You get saved and we still experience condemnation, because the enemy is persistent. That's his job. That's what he does. He loves to try and put it on us. Every opportunity he gets. So it's not like all of a sudden we don't have it anymore, but we've got that new power that's at work. We've got the ammunition. We've got that ammo in us. So it starts off with that, kind of setting quite a scene, setting an encouraging word in place to say, you don't have that anymore. It's actually gone. It's actually not there anymore. It can't be in operation in your life unless we give it power. Unless we give it place, unless we don't actually agree with, actually, this condemnation doesn't have any place, because it can't come from God. He can't condemn us. He doesn't. He saved us. He stood in our place. He fought for us to be free. So it can't come from him. So for me, that was just so encouraging. And I wanted to just look at what our original and intended shape of our lives was meant to be before the Garden of Eden happened in that. In Romans 8, 29 and 30, there it is, it says it so beautifully, and it says, Jesus stands first in the line of humanity. He restored, the Father restored. So Jesus was the first that he restored in the line of humanity. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him, Jesus, I added that. After God made that decision of what his children should look like, he followed it up by calling people by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then, after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. And that is the original and intended shape of our lives. That's what he did. He called us. We are intended to be free from guilt and condemnation. We are intended to be free from sin's grip, And since wages, which is Romans 6:22, the wages for sin is death, we were intended to live free from all those things. We were intended to be free from living under the curse of the law. We were never meant to live under the curse of the law, ever. We were intended to live free from sickness and diseases and ailments. And we were meant to be free to live in a relationship closely connected. So that is what we were set up to live like. That is what the intended shape of our lives were meant to go. And then obviously we all know what happened, but that is kind of like the picture we have set up to us. Even now that we are in Christ, it's like, okay, Lord, that's where I'm looking. I'm not looking here. Actually, this is where I'm supposed to live. And it's not an airy-fairy philosophy it's the truth. I'm quite a positive person. I do tend to look at things half full, and sometimes it can frustrate my husband. But he's coming to love it, hey babes, yes. So I do tend to live not really looking at, trying not to look at the things that are not right or bad in my life. And I felt God actually say to me, Rhodes, it's a good thing. It's actually a good thing. It's good to be positive. It's good to see the good. It's good to have a positive attitude. Of course, you've got to see what's in front of you and what's happening around. But it is good. That's the intended shape of our lives, to be free, to live whole, to live restored, because that's what Jesus paid his blood for. So what does it mean? Do I have it there? No. But we know the scripture because it says a bit further down in Romans 8:29, it says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. That's what we were predestined to be conformed to. That he might be the firstborn among many brothers, that's a different translation. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. So, he foreknew you. He foreknew you and was aware of you and loved you beforehand, before you knew him, before we accepted him, and we know it, it's in the word. So he knew us before. He loved us before. While we were still dirty and we didn't even choose him, he loved us, which is amazing. He destined us to be molded and shaped into the image of Jesus. So his spirit that is in us now, we have Jesus' spirit, perfect, in us. We're not having to do anything. The Holy Spirit's perfect and he's in us. It's an amazing gift to get. Our bodies aren't so, you know, we have to work on our bodies. And our minds, we have to work on our soul as well. Two areas that we need to be kind of getting in line with the Spirit. So he called us, he justified us, which means he acquitted you, he made you righteous, putting you in right standing with himself. So there's no having to kind of earn or get or go somewhere with Jesus. He has put us in right standing. We are co-heirs. We are his. And he glorified us. That's what the word says. Raising us to a heavenly dignity, that's what it means, and condition or state of being. It's quite a lot to wrap your mind around. He glorified us. And it says we're seated in heavenly places with him. Now, it's quite a kind of a thing to also wrap your mind around, that we're here on earth, but we're actually seated with him. We are. We're seated with him. We can think like him. We can see things like he does. We can know things because he lives in us by his spirit. I wrote here, wow, with like 5 exclamation marks. Wow. Paul actually says, well, what shall we say in response to all of this? And I felt God say to me, well, Rhodes, what do you say? And I want to challenge you tonight. What do you say in your mind and in your heart to all of this? Yeah. About the no condemnation, about that you've been called, you've been justified, you've been made righteous, you've been glorified. All of these things have been said about us. And I felt God say to me, well, what do you say? And I had to think about it because often I think we're so quick to say, no, Lord, not me, or, yeah, I still struggle with this. Wow, I feel so weak at times, and I can be such a klutz or dutz or whatever word you want to use. And And no, actually it's not true. Because what Jesus says is what we should say and believe about ourselves, you know? Because he's done it for us. He paid. His blood was shed quite brutally. And it was such a challenge to me. Rhoda, what do you say in response? It requires a response. This magnificent news, this incredible standing that we have with the Father, that we're righteous, that we are clean, that we have been justified. It requires a response. Not one where we live with a victim mentality or even often low self-esteem, which I've often struggled with in my life, you know, not feeling worthy, there's so much that's been said to us and that we are. It's saying, Lord, I respond to what you've said. I'm going to step into what you've said about me. Whether I feel it, whether it seems like it, that's not the truth is that I am. I can step into all that you have for me because of what you've done. Paul says in Romans 8:31, that if God is for us, then who can be against us? And it's quoted quite, you know, often and can be quoted quite willy-nilly, for lack of a better phrase. But it's a powerful thing that if actually God has said all this stuff about me, he's put me in place. I'm like a pillar, actually, in his kingdom. We are. We're like a pillar. We've been set in place. We've got a foundation. We're in right footing and standing with God. We're not movable, actually, because he's anchored us in himself. We stand firm. And actually, then we can say, well, if God is for me, then actually, who can be against me? If we think about it, who can actually be against us? It secures us, it settles our hearts and our minds, and it gives us hope. That truth gives us hope. God is for me. Nothing or no one can actually come against me. Who can bring a charge? Who can bring accusation? Not God. He doesn't accuse. He never accuses. He justifies us. He stands on our behalf and defends us. So it can't be God. Think about it. And condemns, we've already read that there's no condemnation. Paul describes, he goes through this, and he says, who is there to condemn us? Can it be Jesus? No, not a chance. He's the one at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. He's the one who's saying, he's praying, he's interceding for us. You know, he's sitting down, but he's interceding. So it can't be the Father and it can't be Jesus. So then, who can it be? Sometimes we condemn ourselves and our minds. Sometimes our minds actually just are squonky. We have thoughts that aren't helpful and we believe things that aren't true. And that's why it's important to renew our minds. Very important to the truth. Because there's so much out there that can confuse us, that can derail us, can help cause us to just kind of see things not quite so crystal clear. So that was one thing I was really challenged on, actually my mind, and I know, Dom knows, I often struggle, and I think we all do in some ways, with the thoughts that we think about ourselves and about our situations and about people and about God. So that's why the word is absolute key to help us to think. We've got to watch what we think. We've got to watch our thoughts because they can destroy our lives if we're not careful. The enemy is the accuser. Not God. The enemy is the one who accuses, and our thoughts can sometimes also bring that condemnation and that guilt. God never intended it to be that way. Mm. And if we're not careful, we start to believe things like, well, that trouble and hardship and persecution and famine and nakedness and danger and sword are all signs that actually maybe God's left me. Or maybe I've done something wrong, or maybe I haven't prayed enough, or, oh, you know, maybe I haven't quite not measured up because now all these things are happening. And we sometimes think that way. So if things aren't going right, I mean, I've now and again thought like, geez, Lord, what's going on, you know? And I haven't had many, many bad things happen in my world, but things happen in life. Business things go squonky, or relationships fail, or children get sick, or whatever it might be. And if we're not careful, our thoughts can just go a little bit squonk. And Paul actually, he gets quite, well, I think he does. In Romans 8:37, he says, actually, no. It's like, okay, there's a no. So now in the Bible, it says, no, you're not thinking quite clearly there, because it's not possible. And all the things, we are more than conquerors. And all of these things, even if hardships come, even if troubles come, famine, nakedness, the sword, whatever may come, you're more than a conqueror. And I was quite, the Holy Spirit arrested me, and he said to me, Rhodes, we've got to watch what we think. We've got to watch how we think, because actually Paul says, no, don't think like that. Be careful. Watch how you understanding life happening around you. See through God's eyes. See with his vision. Go on what his word says. And his word says, we are more than conquerors. Nothing can separate us. Not hardship, not famine, not danger, not sword. Nothing can separate us. He paid with his blood. So we are sealed. We are connected to him so intimately that nothing can separate us from him. And as just said here, right thinking, we've heard that saying many times before, right thinking causes right believing. And it's so true how if you think about something long enough, we start believing it. Think about something, whether it's positive or negative. Both ways go. Both ways are powerful. Our brains are incredibly powerful. And that's why we are to think about on the Word of God, more than we think about the news and the reports that are going around in the world around us. That is the thing that anchors us. And I was looking on Pinterest, which is obviously a nice little thing to go on to every now and again. And I just looked up a few little things on thoughts. And this was quite an interesting one. It says, keep your thoughts positive because your thoughts become your words. Keep your words positive because your words become your behavior. Keep your behavior positive because your behavior becomes your habits. Keep your habits positive because your habits become your values. Keep your values positive because your values become your destiny. And I just thought to myself, Mahatma Gandhi, wow, what an amazing man. He was a tiny little dude, but he was amazing. Changed the world. He impacted the world in a major, major way. Marcus Aurelius from Gladiator. The movie Gladiator said, the happiness of your life depends upon the quality of your thoughts. Might not have been a Christian, but that's pretty profound. And then another one, the words you speak become the house you live in. Now remember, when I just got married, a lady quite close to me said to me, Rhodes, you set the tone of your home. You set the atmosphere by the words you speak and the attitude you have. And it is. That is true. And I've seen it in our home. The words you speak become the house you live in. So the words you speak are over your own life, and the words we choose to speak over our lives, we live with our words. We take it wherever we go. They follow us. They go ahead of us. They're in us. And the last one, we become what we think. We do become what we think. And then, obviously, back to the word we go. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as you think in your heart, so are you. We know that scripture well. And it just reminded me of something Dom had said to me a while ago about being intentional. And it's so true because it involves an intention from us to watch out and to control our thoughts, and to renew our mind. It involves that, actually, an intention, which I don't often like to do, because I'm quite a happy-go-lucky person. I like to just kind of go with the flow and see what, you know, and I'll approach an opportunity or a situation, and I'll deal with it there. I don't often plan 5 steps ahead. That's just my personality, and I've had to learn to be a bit more intentional, and I'm still learning. But it was quite a challenge when I looked at this and I thought, sheesh, Lord, we can't just kind of let our thoughts go. We've got to be intentional to renew them. And the benchmark, the line, the benchmark is the word I was looking for, is the word. Luckily, we've got that. We've got that in our lives. We can pick it up at any time. It's in us. The word is in us. That's what Jesus said. He put it in us. It's alive in us. And that's, I just love that. I love that we can be intentional with the Word of God and go back to it and say, okay, cool, actually that thought's not helpful. What I'm thinking or what I'm understanding about this situation is maybe not accurate. Let me go see. And it is our responsibility. God's not going to do it for us. The Holy Spirit can remind us. He can. He's faithful. He's our friend. But it's our responsibility and our intentionality to sit with the Word and say, teach me, Lord. I'm struggling with these thoughts every time. Every situation I approach, this is how I think. It's not helpful. It's not helpful in my marriage. It's not helpful with my children. It's not helpful in friendships. It's not helpful at work. Please teach me. I love that. I love that we can be intentional. And when we are intentional, it's that power in us that kicks in. It's the Holy Spirit's power in us that propels us and helps us to go forward and have breakthrough. It's not a magic wand, which I've had to accept. What, Lord, just zap me and change me? No, it's our intentionality, our saying, and we partner with the Holy Spirit. We don't do it out of works. We don't sit and say, okay, great, I'm going to now, Lord, try this and try and try and I keep failing. No. When we take a step, the Holy Spirit says, yes, cool, I meet you. I like. What I love about this church, it's relaxed. So we partner. The moment we give a step forward, it's like he meets us and he says, cool, now we can move. Now I've empowered you. Now let's see that power in operation when we step closer. So this word has been such an encouraging word for me in my own life, because I'm not talking to you from a point of view of having it all together, and you know, I'm still also learning. We're all learning and we're all growing. But Paul I looked up this word conquerors, and it's quite an incredible word, because God says we are more than conquerors. So if you can just listen to conquerors, my brain couldn't quite get around the more part, but a conqueror means, the noun means winners or victors or vanquishers. That's conquerors. And then the verb, the doing part of conquering, is to overcome an enemy or an army, to defeat, to overcome an obstacle, a feeling, a desire, to surmount, to gain possession, or to control by force or war. That's pretty amazing. I mean, that's to conquer. That's to go and actually conquer something. And I'm happy and I'm excited that there were feelings, because, you know, we all have feelings that actually sometimes just need to be conquered or like overcome, and that's okay. It's part of being a child of God. We have feelings. He made us with feelings, and that was exciting for me. Philippians 4:8. Do I have it? Yes. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise and not things to curse. We know that scripture well as well. So, what have you received? What have we received that makes us different to the world? Because Paul speaks in the beginning of Romans 8 about, you know, when we are filled with the Spirit, we have our mind set on what the Spirit desires. And he speaks about us being quite different when you have the Spirit of God. You're not controlled by your flesh anymore. You don't walk around aimlessly. We've got direction. We've got vision. We're controlled by the Spirit of God if he lives inside of us. So we have received the Spirit of sonship. We've got him. He makes us. He produces sonship in us. That's what the Spirit of sonship or adoption means. It means he produces it in us. So if we're walking around feeling like we actually don't belong, and it's not the truth. It can't be, because the Holy Spirit in us produces that thing in us, that we belong, that we're sons and we're daughters. It's not an anointing that comes on you, it's in you. That sonship, that belonging, that absolutely I belong somewhere. I fit in the kingdom of God, in the family of God. It should bring a huge amount of reassurance over us. We've got the Spirit who testifies as well. Another thing that it says, that we are children of God. He testifies to us all the time. You're a child of mine. You're mine. I love you. I love you. You're mine. We've got a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. That is the spirit we've received, 2 Timothy 1:7. We are heirs and co-heirs with Jesus. It's pretty amazing to think we're heirs, eh? We're co-heirs. We share in Jesus' inheritance. He's got to share it. I'm sure he's happy to share it with all of us. But that's amazing. I've never thought of it like that. Jesus is going to share his inheritance with us. You know, one day, and already he has. Already he is sharing it. We are whole in our spirit, man, like I said before. Nothing, like Rob Rufus says, nothing lacking, nothing broken, nothing dysfunctional. Nothing lacking. We don't lack anything in our spirit, man. Nothing broken, nothing dysfunctional. That is very reassuring for me when I heard them say that. So, we're invited to come. We're invited to share. After all this incredible encouragement, we are invited to live in the reality of who we are, of who God says you are. Every day, he says it over us. Creation shouts it at us. They're waiting. Yeah, they're waiting for us to rise up, for the sons of God to be revealed, and for us to actually take hold of what God says about us. Even creation is waiting. That's amazing. The trees worship. Everything worships God, and they're waiting for us to get that, like, realization, revelation. I love it. Who we really are, understanding and believing what and whom we have inside of us. Letting it overflow and come out into our lives, because it's in us. The Holy Spirit's in us. It's perfect. But it needs to come out into our soul and into our bodies when we're on earth, while we're living. Instead of doubling our efforts, how's this? We are to simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. I love that. Instead of doubling your effort, it's not about effort. It's embracing what the Holy Spirit's doing. Just embracing it. You get green wallet, awesome. You get a green wallet, I mean, really. Embracing what the Holy Spirit's doing. We are to trust God's action in us, because there's action in us. He beckons us to come. He invites us just with an invitation. You receive an invitation to go to a party, and you can decide to accept it, or we can say we're not going. Oh, but he beckons us. He beckons us all the time to come. To come live in this extraordinary life that we actually can live with his Spirit in us. And it's not it's ordinary life. There's nothing wrong with living an ordinary life. We all have to do the ordinary things of life, the washing and the cooking and the cleaning. But we are called, invited to live in that place where the Holy Spirit is directing and leading us and changing our lives and changing the people around us and impacting our world. That's what God beckons us to. Last scripture for tonight is from Romans 8, verse 16 and 17. I want you to read it with me because it's so beautiful. It says, this resurrection life you've received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are. Father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. I love that. An unbelievable inheritance. And he confirms who we really are. Sometimes we forget who we really are. We do. So there's a song by a beautiful lady called Christine Urkels, and I put the words up because I want you to look at the words while she's singing it, because they are amazing. And yeah, enjoy it. It's called Into the Glorious, how God invites us to live a life into the glorious with Him. Just for now. Could you play that? Thank you. Song, but more than the song, just the invitation into the glorious, into that place where we live. So I'd love to pray. If I can ask you to stand, that would be great. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we are your children. Thank you that we in your kingdom, that we have an incredible inheritance in you. You are our great reward, Jesus. You are the center of our lives. You are the one that we love. I thank you, Father God, for each person here tonight. I thank you that, Holy Spirit, by your power, you have touched our hearts. You've reminded us of something. You've encouraged. You've lifted up. And I thank you for that. I just thank you for each person here, Lord, that where there might have been discouragement, I thank you, God, that you've brought encouragement. I thank you that where there was condemnation, Lord, you've brought freedom from condemnation and guilt by your Spirit, Lord. I thank you, God, that even as Corrine encouraged us through worship, Lord, I thank you that our walk with you is one from the inside out. I thank you that it's not to do with our feelings or our flesh, but it is about your Holy Spirit inside of us and the truth of who you are and what you say. And I thank you for that. I thank you that we are anchored in your good news. We are anchored as your children, that we would live our lives and respond to you daily, Lord. Respond to you as you lead us, as you encourage us. I thank you that we can live our lives for you and truly, truly be in touch with you by your Spirit, God, knowing that we're yours, knowing that we can live our lives securely and safely with you.